The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Okay, a lady can claim she loves a man when she can't give things to the man. Praise God. I normally tell people, when you are about to get into a relationship, there should be something you are bringing to the table. Okay? If the man has to give you money, you have to do that too. Hallelujah. Relationship is symbiosis. Amen? It's not parasitism. Nobody said one person should be sucking the other person dry. Even though the giving will definitely not be at the same level and capacity. You get the point? Yeah. You know, the thing about partnership in life, partnership generally, it doesn't mean that the both parties must bring 50-50. It just means that somebody, you must bring something. I didn't get the point. So every, just like pastor-member relationship, the pastor has something he must bring to the table, which is he must serve you the word, he must train you spiritually, he must train you to become strong, he must bring in something. You, on the other hand, you must bring something to the table too. That is honor. Part of the honor we're looking at last week is financial honor. Are you still here? So this must be done. And so today I'm going to talk about honor too, but then other parts of honor generally right now. I'm going to talk about honor for your pastor, for your minister. And this is a very important subject, very, very important subject. You know, we say this all the time, and it is always true, that honor makes for the flow of the anointing. Okay, you can't receive much from a man you don't honor. Let me say it again. You can't receive much from a man you don't honor. When there is honor, the anointing always flows in that direction. You know, we're seeing last week how, how a woman would build a house for Elisha, and Elisha would just say, what can we do for this woman? The anointing was activated to act in her direction because she built a house for him. You can call Elisha anything. You can call him canal. You can call him money conscious, but the important thing is, honor will always make for the flow of the anointing. The Bible will tell us in Matthew chapter 13, I believe verse 52, if I'm not mistaken, how Jesus, verse 58 rather, okay, how Jesus will get into a particular village, but they not do much there. He did not many mighty works there, because of their unbelief. What does the Bible mean by their unbelief? The previous verses, we see that they began to say concerning Jesus, is this not the son of the carpenter? Are his brothers not here with us? So they dishonored his ministry. And the Bible said he did not do many mighty works. So it wasn't because Jesus was not anointed, but because immediately dishonor set in, he couldn't do much. And you don't realize that's why. You know, it looks like it, sometimes in church, it looks like there are certain people who always keep giving testimonies. It looks like there are certain people, once pastor prays, they always receive it first. Sometimes, check their hearts. There is honor. Are you following me? Once there is honor, you always have the anointing flow in that direction. So, Jesus did not talk here because these people did not have honor for his ministry. So, they saw him as the son of God. Like I always jokingly say, the son of carpenter does not heal the sick. Praise God. The carpenter's son doesn't heal the sick. The carpenter's son doesn't raise the dead. So he couldn't heal their sick. He couldn't raise their dead because he was the carpenter's son. Had they seen him anything in another different way, he would have done mighty things there. Praise God. That's why, you know, I always give this warning. The closer you get to a man of God, the more careful you should become. If not, you will just kick yourself out of the flow. You see, the more a man of God brings you close, the more you should become scared. Because you, before you know, you scared. I don't mean you should be afraid of him. Do you understand what I mean? Now, before you know, you can be living in the same house with a man, and his ministry is a blessing to everybody in the world but you. I didn't get the point. His ministry is blessing everybody in the world but you. Once a man of God is your brother, your sister, your father, your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, once they stand in the ministry, you must be very careful. If not, their ministry will not benefit you. Satan will still whip you in that house. I get what I'm saying? So because once there is dishonor, once you dishonor that grace, that anointing, you're not going to get much from it. You're not going to go to hell, but whatever that anointing was supposed to work out for you, you'll miss out of it. If it is healing, you miss out of it. If it is miracles, you miss out of it. If it is teaching, knowledge. Some people wallow in ignorance, yet they live in the same house with wisdom. I get what I'm saying? Are you following me at all this evening? They live in the same house with wisdom, but they wallow in ignorance because by dishonor, they disvalue the value on that particular person. And so they end up not being wise. Maybe because both of you became roommates or both of you became housemates. It is very possible to begin to feel, well, what's there? Before you know, what you're supposed to gain from the person, you can't gain it again. And that's why I normally advise people. You know, recently, I started telling people, I said, if you cannot handle being close to a minister, if you can't handle it, if it's bringing you close, be running until you can handle it. Did you hear what I said? For your own good. Some people cannot handle it. They get close to a minister and then they begin to dishonor him. Now, when you get close to a genuine minister, you are going to notice the love of Jesus. You're going to notice his passion for God. You will notice all of those things. Amen? You will. But you will also notice his humanity. I get what I'm saying? Yeah. I saw a post on Facebook, very correct post. But I'm still going to put that in a better perspective. More like, well, as people say, when you get close to a minister, you see his flaws. That it ought not to be so. That when you get close to a minister, you should see Jesus. Well, that's very correct. Amen? Are you following me? That's very correct. You should see Jesus when you get close to the minister. However, what we mean by that statement is that you will see Jesus and you also see his humanity. Because Jesus too was human. I don't get the point. Jesus too was human. It took the apostles coming very close to Jesus to know that at a time he was scared of going to the cross. If Peter, James, and John were not that close to him, we would have ever known that he was at all scared. I don't get the point. They were close to him. And so imagine if you begin to dishonor a man, you would just get very close to him, and one day he just says, this cross thing, I think, bring here. I think I'm very scared. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then you say, see, the man of God. I thought he was even a man of God. So all this preaching is preaching on courage and boldness and all that. So you even get scared. If you can't handle it, just stay far. Are you following me? And so what is honor? I've defined some of these things earlier for you. Honor is to esteem something highly. To esteem something or esteem someone very highly. Amen? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, it said that we beseech you, don't worry, let me use this, it's okay. We beseech you to know them which are over you in the Lord and to esteem them, look at verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. That is honor. Honor is to esteem something high. Are you following me? To esteem it very high. Honor is to recognize and celebrate the value on a person or on a thing. But a person now, because I'm talking about ministers. Because you know there is honor. I'm just going to focus on ministers today. There is honor for your parents. You know, right? Are you following me? There is honor for fellow saints. That is even honor for meetings. And all these things, whatever this is supposed to deliver to you, if you don't honor them, you're not going to have it. For instance, if you don't know how to honor Christian meetings, you will come and go, you will not be blessed. Are you following the point? So it is to recognize and celebrate the value on a person. The value on a person. And so I am your pastor to recognize and celebrate that this guy is my pastor and he's this, that, and that to me. Another division I heard this from my spiritual father. He says, honor is to recognize and celebrate difference. And that's very powerful. to celebrate difference, to know that we are all together, but that we differ. So if you recognize that I differ from you in a certain way, for instance, in the area of my calling, by responsibility, I differ from you. You know, I've kept telling you, we are not all the same. Hope you know. We are all the same in fellowship, but in responsibility and by our offices, we are not the same. So honor recognizes that difference. In your family, honor recognizes that even though all of us are staying in this household, somebody is daddy, somebody is mommy, somebody is my other brother. You must recognize the difference between you and people. Are you following me? Same thing in church. It will be deception for you to think that because all of us are gathered inside this place, we are all the same. No, sir. We are not all the same. I get the point. So honor recognizes that and celebrates that difference. The Bible will tell us in Romans 12 verse 3 that you must not see yourself higher or more highly than you ought to. And like I explained the first day of this teaching, that was talking about spiritual offices. Look at it. He said, I say then through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. He said, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, from verse 4, 5, 6, he began to talk about different members, different offices, different responsibilities. So we have many members in one body. And all are members. All members have not the same office. So honor is to recognize that, see, we are all the same, but we don't have the... We are all equal in Christ. We are all members of the body of Christ, but we all don't have the same office. I get the point. So when people say, well, I don't care. We are all humans. We are all the same. You know, there's a statement that people normally make. That statement is an evil statement. It's correct in a way, but you must be wiser than that. I've heard people say this. Like, have you heard that statement? Huh? It's actually correct. You know, the way life is, you might find somebody that is 15 years today. That you that is even 18 or 20, and there's a child that is 3 around you. In the next 20 years, both of you will be sitting down to discuss business. I don't get the point. That's how life is. In fact, in that next 20 years, you might even have money more than you. But you see, honor will always recognize difference. Are you following me? Yeah. Difference. You know, I told you guys something. I can never be like my spiritual father. I can never get to his level. I will never. And I refuse to. You get the point? I'm not talking about, say, sir, what if your church grows? I'm not talking about big church or influence. It is all in my head. Let me say something about fatherhood. Amen? Fatherhood is not about money or anointing. It's about position. You will definitely be richer than your father. How many of you know this? But he's still your father. You cannot be so rich that you become your father's father. I'm talking about biologically now. Amen? You'll be richer than him. In fact, a time is going to come that you will now be stronger than him, physically speaking. Are you what I'm saying? It must happen. Say, fatherhood is not about what you have or what I don't have. Say, my father had 3 cars. Now I've grown. I have 13 cars. I've achieved more than him. So therefore, he's nothing to me. You foolish man. I get the point. It's not about achievement. It's about position. It's there. It's there. If you like, become president. You're still a son to your father. Let that settle in your mind. You know that the first day or the second day, I was warning us, especially people that are in the music industry or people who want to get into politics. You remember? I sounded a very strong warning that day. Never, ever get to whatever position in life and forget the place of fatherhood and all these things in your life. You can't outgrow it. And that's the truth. Biological fatherhood, spiritual fatherhood, you can never outgrow it. Christianity is not politics. In politics, you can become your boss's boss. That's politics. In fact, that's the aim in politics. Politics is the aim so that you can outsmart this person, bring him down, climb, and begin to control him. That's politics. That's the aim. If you do it, you're a smart politician. Christianity is not politics. Amen? Church is not politics. Take that from your mind. Some of you reading 48 Laws of Power, I want to come and apply it in the church. First of all,
First of all, stop reading the book. Tell your neighbor, have you read? Ask your neighbor, find out. Have you read for this? Find out. Get an answer. Get an answer. I tell him, if you have read it, don't read it again. Praise God. You know, what's the first law? Never outshine the master. You know, right? He said, outshine, I'll be outsmart, something like that. The whole aim is just be very pretentious. Act like both of you are working very well. Act like both of you are peaceful, both of you are friends. Then he will now trust you with responsibilities. Then from behind you overrun him and you are wise. You see, that's what 8 laws of foolishness. Let me tell you, from Sunday, I'm starting a new series. It's titled Wiser. I've been talking about the wisdom of God. Praise God. I've been promising that for long, right? We're talking about, it's titled Wiser. See, that is 48 laws of foolishness. Teaching you how to be wise. You know, let me not start preaching on Sunday message. Back to what I'm saying. So, honor recognizes that there are people that are higher than you. In fact, the Bible teaches that there are people you owe your life. Have you seen that in the Bible? Philemon 1 verse 19 or Philemon 16 verse 19. Have you found it? Look at your neighbor's note. If you wrote 16 verse 19, bring him out here for prayers, please. So Philemon verse 19, he said, I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee, how thou owest unto me even thy own self. Besides, he's saying, because Paul was saying, he was writing, please take back Onesimus. Because you know the story of Philemon, right? Philemon was a rich man. That's just the background. A rich man who had a slave called Onesimus. Onesimus, Philemon was a believer who was a son, kind of a partner with Paul. And so Onesimus stole his money and ran away. And so when Onesimus now ran away, he met Paul. And Paul led Onesimus to Christ, got him saved, mentored him. This story teaches a lot. Mentored him and now sent him back to Philemon, whom he ran away from, to go and make peace with him. So this letter was the letter he gave Onesimus when he was returning back to Philemon. Do you understand the story? So in this verse, he was promising him that whatever Onesimus has stolen from you, I'm going to pay. He said, even though I don't have to remind you that you owe me yourself. Put up another translation of this verse, verse 19. And then he said, I, Paul, write this letter with my own hand. I'll repay it. And I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. So Paul is telling Philemon, you owe me. You don't owe me money, you owe me your life. Put up another one. Another one. Message. This is my personal signature. Paul and I stand behind it. I don't need to remind you, do I, that you owe your very life to me. Praise God. Praise God. Amplify. You owe your very life to me. Glory to God. Amplify said, I, Paul, write it with my own hand. I promise to repay it in full. And that is to say nothing of the fact that you owe me your very self. So there are people. What did Paul do for Onesimus? For Philemon to boldly say that you owe me yourself. He taught him the word and the gospel. So you owe me yourself. You know, you must realize that, put yourself in that place. There are people I owe my life. I think you get the point. That you must maintain a culture and a posture of honor. Honor is a sign that you are wise. Honor is a sign that you are wise. I heard my spiritual father say one day, he said, wisdom is the recognition of difference. Yeah. Wisdom is to celebrate difference. Okay. So to know that we all differ. So honor shows that you are wise. Honor shows that you are wise. Like I already said, honor we make for the flow of the anointing. I've shown you that scripture in Matthew 13 verse 58. Okay. And another place that is worthy of mention too is Acts 28 from verse 1. Paul had gotten, they got to an island. They didn't get there as men of God. They got there as ordinary people. They were stranded on the island. And because they were stranded there, they just started living with those people. Now, suddenly, we had a story of a snake biting, as in, a snake bit Paul. and stuck to his hand. And he flung the snake out. And the people there were expecting him to die.
Praise God.
And he did not die. Praise God. Hallelujah. What did I say? They said he was a god. You notice, go to verse 3. Something happened before this incident. Go to verse 3. Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. There came a viper out of the heat and fastened onto his hand. So the thing beat him and stuck to his hand. Okay? And in verse 4, when the barbarians saw the venomous beast, they said among themselves, no doubt, this man is a murderer. So they said, ah, this guy is a murderer. You know why? You know this, what people believe. He survived the sea. Because they had an accident together. They had a shipwreck, kind of. They survived and got to the island. And suddenly, they just arrived. And the snake beat him. You know, sometimes some of you think like this. From one bad thing to another is happening to me. It's like something is wrong with me. Listen, nothing is wrong with you. Amen. That's how the barbarians talked. They say, this guy is a murderer. Though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. You know, that's how people think. And so when the miracle finally happened, when the guy flung the thing into the fire and felt no harm, they waited and waited. He didn't die. They said, ah, this guy is a god. Immediately they changed their perception of him. Verse 7, verse 8, down. Miracles began to take place. Look at verse 7. The same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. In verse 8, and it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Hallelujah. And so when this was done, others also, which are diseases in the island, came and were healed. So if they kept seeing Paul like this guy is a murderer, that's what's going to happen in that land. You get the point? But now they began to perceive this guy is different. This guy is a god. This guy is a spirit. Things began to happen. And so that's what honor should be. I say a few more things about honor. Or let me say something about dishonor. You know, dishonor is a very terrible thing. And that's why you must never work in it. One of the things dishonor will cost you, like I always say, is that dishonor, listen, don't miss this. In any sphere of life, dishonor will cost you access. Honor will create access for you. Dishonor will take the access from you. Now, we are speaking big English. When you bring people, allow them to come very close to you, and they begin to insult you or begin to talk to you anyhow, the natural thing for you to do is to shift yourself from them. True or false? That's how it is. So dishonor will cost you. The Bible will tell us, you know, after Saul dishonored Samuel and grabbed his cloak and cut his cloak, the Bible says from that day, Saul never set his eyes on Samuel again till he died. That costed him that access. In fact, as a matter of fact, he wanted to see Samuel so much. After Samuel died, he had to go to a witch to call the guy up so that he can see him. You know, that's what his honor does. There are people that's why I said, if you cannot handle being close to a man of God, you better just excuse yourself. Don't get there. Stay away. And if you become close, manage it very well. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know this happens in church here. In everywhere. You find us in church here. Sometimes you read amazing testimonies. This one is coming in from Abuja. Thank you, sir, for blessing my life. You spoke a word and the fever disappeared. This one is coming in from China. Thank you, sir, for blessing my life. You spoke a word and then, of course, I can't hear myself again. And then the financial issue was turned around. You see amazing testimonies, yet not much of that is coming in from the congregation itself. Do you know why? Dishonor has set in. I see this man. He's not Pastor Henry. I see on Sunday. I see on Thursday. I see on Saturday. If I want to see him, I can go and see him. I have his contact. I have his number. You know what is happening? You already rob yourself. But those people, because they don't see him. I didn't get the point. Because they don't see him. Some of them, we count it an honor. Say, ah, sir, I spoke to you today. Thank you very much. You know, sometimes when you see how people treat your pastor, yourself will step up. Praise God. I get the point. Yourself will step up. Some will see him and lie down. Do you know, It's not like he likes that. But you see, that posture, they will always be getting blessed. Because they see him as something. The Bible said the lesser is blessed of the greater. Are you following me? So there is a tendency to stop being blessed because you're walking in dishonor. You're walking in dishonor. So I'm going to challenge you to stay away from people who walk in dishonor. The Bible will tell us in Psalm 1, the popular Psalm 1 verse 1, blessed is the man who does not sit, praise God, who does not walk, first of all, in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. Who, you know who the scornful is? People who scorn people. People who talk people down. He said, blessed is the man that will not be with them. He said, he shall be like a tree. There are people you don't sit with. There are people you don't talk with. Once somebody is a dishonorable person, don't flow with the person. If I, let me give you a simple trick. Once somebody has dishonored anybody before you, your own is coming soon. Do you get what I said? Let me tell you, you want to marry a girl, and the girl is very insultive, insults everybody except you. Don't worry. Yours is coming. Amen? She talks to everybody that says, idiot, mumu, get out. It's just because, baby, it's because of you, baby. See, don't worry. One day, you will receive it too. And anything you permit people to do, they will do it to you one day. You have a small child at home who is very insulting, insulting everybody. And you're just laughing. You will receive your own very soon. You won't question him. Insulting everybody, you're just laughing. Say, keep quiet, Joe. You die and leave. Say, don't mind. That's how we used to talk. That's how we used to talk. Don't worry. You're gradually telling him that that is how to talk. So there are people you don't sit with. When people find it very easy. You know, I told you guys something. I told you guys something. We live in a terrible generation. I used to say that, right? You see, we live in a terrible generation. A generation that does not mind insulting people that are older than them. Insulting people that stand in the calling, in the call of God for their life. You know, there is a situation a nation will get into. Sometimes, it takes only a man of God to get them out of it. You get what I'm saying? But when we have raised a nation, when we have raised a nation, I don't know why I have a little to say this, that finds it very easy to insult men of God and to think of it men that are even older than them and they don't really care about it. That generation, you know, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. He said, this is the first commandment. He said, with a promise. And I said that your days may be long. Praise God. You know, in Leviticus 19, verse 32, he talks about the hoary head. You know, as I like pronouncing it. Doesn't matter whether it's correct or not. Praise God. The hoary head. Amen. He said, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. He said, I am thy God. So you must learn to. Do you know what that means? Okay, please build up NLT. I love my church. Stand up in the presence of the elderly and show respect for the aged. Fear your God. I am the Lord. Learn it. I get the point. Don't be a man that is very comfortable with dishonor. You dishonor men. You dishonor men of God. You dishonor elderly men. Don't be comfortable with that. And don't flow with people who are like that. This is the worst generation of youths that I've ever seen or read about. Who don't care. You say, who is that one? Idiot, mumu, you a fool. And what made it easy is internet. Because now internet has made it possible for the first time to be able to talk to a man without seeing the man. And the man will see it. Ah, so why can't we all be talking? You must be very careful. Like I always say, sometimes you talk against men that if they bring you before them, you can't even talk. Praise God. The kind of glory, I'm not talking about glory of God, the kind of glory around them. You know what I mean by glory? It's not glory of God now. Sometimes the number of security personnel you see around them, you can't even talk. To celebrate the grace upon your life. You can't. You can't even talk. But then you just feel, I can just use my data to the glory of God. Don't let your data destroy you. Praise God. Praise God. You know, one of the things dishonor does to men. Let me tell you one thing. One major root of dishonor is offense. Offense. You must learn to deal with offense as they come. If you allow offense settle in your heart, you're going to walk in dishonor. That's why I'm going to say, make another statement. One major root of honor is love. Honor is rooted in love. Dishonor will breed offenses. Offense is rooted. Is it dishonor breeds offense? Yes, dishonor is rooted in offense. When people are offended, let me show you like two different places. Go back to that Matthew 13 that we read. Okay, we are there already. Look at what he said. He said, and they were offended in him. Start from 56. He said, 55. Let me just get a full picture. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Verse 56. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence had this man all these things? See what follows next. And they were offended in him. So what brought about how they dishonored him? They were offended in him. Maybe jealousy, maybe envy, but they were offended in him. They were offended in him. And that brought about, so Jesus now said, a prophet is not without honor except his own country. Verse 58 now said, and he did not make the mighty works there. So what do I mean? I mean, when you walk with men, things that will make them annoy you will come. If you keep that vex in your heart, you will walk in dishonor. I normally use this example for you all the time. John the Baptist. Matthew 11. John the Baptist. Matthew 11 verse 1. This was the man that said, this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. You know, he was the first. You know, the Bible calls him the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. You know, right? The reason is because John the Baptist was the only of the Old Testament prophets that prophesied about the coming of Jesus and saw it fulfilling his days. Yeah. Elijah will prophesy, he wouldn't see Jesus. Elijah will prophesy, Isaiah spoke about them, they didn't see. He spoke about him, he did not just see him, he recognized him by the Spirit. That was a great man. Such a man. But the Bible said, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Why? Because Jesus heard that he was arrested. He expected Jesus to show up in the prison and deliver him. And Jesus didn't do that. So he picked offense. How do I know that he picked offense? You will see what Jesus answered. Verse 4. He said, I'm blessed. Okay, go back to verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and shew John again those things which you do hear and see. Verse 5. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Verse 6, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. He said, don't be offended in me. So it was offense that made John. You know one thing offense does? Offense will bring dishonor. You know one quality of dishonor? Dishonor always forgets. You know, I say this all the time. Dishonor will always forget. You see people want this honor setting. He said, what has he ever done for me in this life? He saw imagine John asking Jesus, are you the Messiah? Jesus didn't tell John that he was the Messiah. It was John that told people that this guy is the Messiah. He was so convinced. He was the one preaching it. But when offense set in, it gave birth to dishonor. And then he said, who's even that one? What has he ever done for me in this world? Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, when I see people quarrel there are people I know that have fallen out with their pastors and are busy ranting, saying a lot of things about him, insulting. Sometimes Facebook never forgets. Dishonor forgets. The internet does not forget. So sometimes Facebook will still do a throwback and remind. Some of them I feel like sharing them. But sometimes they tag me to the post. This man is my life. I remember where I was coming from. And then 3 years later, he's saying, oh, this man of God, forget. Sometimes I feel like sharing the post. Or I feel like commenting. You know, once you comment on a post, it starts. I just comment and said, powerful man of God. Dishonor always forgets. Don't be like that. That's why you must never allow offense settle in. Another example I normally give you is Moses and Miriam and Aaron. And even in that very case, they were angry with Moses, and rightfully so. That's why I told you something. Sometimes when it comes to matters of calling, it looks like God doesn't really care about who is right or who is wrong. Do you get what I say? Moses will give an instruction. Don't marry a strange woman. Don't marry a foreign woman. The same Moses went to Ethiopia and got married. And so the Bible said that Aaron and Miriam picked offense with him because he had married a strange woman. They began to quarrel with him. And see where it starts from. It started with, you married a strange woman. See where it ended. It ended with, is it only Moses that God speaks to? Are you getting the point? It starts with offense, then it begins to go to other things. What concerns Moses and God speaking to are marrying a strange woman. There's no relationship. But because you've built that offense in your heart, before you know, you begin to hear things like, is it only Moses that God speaks? Does he not also speak to all of us? God now told them, all of you come out. Hello, God has a word of humble people. So all of you come out. Listen, to every other prophet I speak to in dreams and visions. He said, but to this man Moses, I talk to you face to face. You know what he was telling them? You guys are not mates. I get the point. You, all of you are Israelites. You people are not mates. Aaron, you're even older than Moses, but you people are not mates. Miriam, you are the one that was there taking care of Moses when he was a child. You know it was Miriam. So she should be at least 14, 15 to be that old, to be taking care of, you know, watching after Moses. He said, you guys, you're older than him, but you guys are not mates. Every other person I can talk about, you, this guy, he's not your mate. You must recognize some people are older than you in this life. And they will forever be. And if you honor that calling and that grace and that anointing, it will do you good. Praise God. It will do you good. So dishonor will always forget. And offense is what breeds it. You see, I keep saying this all the time. Once it is human relationship, offense must set in. Once it is human relationship, you must hurt me and I must hurt you. Never let that offense stay. I didn't get the point. If it stays, it's good. Because you must realize that everything God is going to give you in this life is going to give you through men. Learn this wisdom. If Satan wants to spoil your future, he disconnects you from men that you will need in that future. You get the point? He makes you pick offense with them and quarrel. That's why I normally warn you guys. Let me digress a little. Be careful how you end relationships. Whether dating or boss, employer, employee, or be careful. You see, the answers to the prayers you pray 10 years to come, God has gone ahead of you to provide them in the men you know today. You get the point? That admission prayer your child will be praying 30 years to come, Father, give me admission in Jesus' name. The answer is in some of these people who are here. Who might be the jam registrar that time? Who you have quarreled with now? Say, get out! I don't care. I've never needed in my life. Who told you? You are still young, go. You don't know you are. I will never need you. He said, if it's only you that will help me, let me not be helped. Amen. No. Be very careful how you treat relationships. You see, you can disconnect from someone and you guys will not end with fight and quarrel. We are believers. I didn't get the point. It doesn't mean that anybody that both of you, I'm not saying you should keep everybody close because I don't know where I will need you tomorrow. No, there are people you should separate from. Yeah, the Bible teaches that. But it doesn't mean you guys will no longer be in talking terms at all. So I will not talk to you again. I will never talk to you again. Idiot, mumu, fool, ewu. Continue. Don't despise relationships. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. In a man of God, I shared this story here before. A man of God was sharing a story of how God brought him into a relationship with a certain man. the man has a reputation with raising the dead or something like that. I can't get the full story. But he has a strong reputation with raising the dead. So God brought him into that relationship. And they kept talking. For long, 3 years, 4 years, they were just talking, normal friends. After some years, the man's son became very sick and died. You get the point? The guy's son became very sick and died. When he died, that man of God heard it and said it's not possible. And called him back to life. It was, you know, what happened is, God already saw that. You know, God is always ahead of Satan. Always. He already saw that in the future, Satan is going to strike. So he packaged the answer and delivered it to you as a casual friend, as a roommate. So the answer was living with you as a roommate. You despise the answer. You play with the answer. Your child will die. Will bury him. Then you now come to say, God does not exist. So you'll be praying. He doesn't answer you. Nonsense. All of you praying. You are brainwashed. You are brainwashed. Okay. Happy brainwashing. You know everybody's brainwashed in this life. It depends on what is brainwashing you. I'm brainwashed to believe that there is God. Brainwashed to believe in the power of God. Brainwashed to believe in the power of the gospel. You are brainwashed to believe in foolishness. You believe nonsense. Hallelujah. Well, all I'm saying is value relationships. You see, don't let offense spoil things for you. Hallelujah. Any relationship, any pastor member relationship, or father-daughter, father-son relationship that have lasted for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, must have been a relationship that is filled with forgiveness and tolerance. That's why it has lasted that long. Both from the father to the son and from the son to the father. I get the point. Don't let offense. Hallelujah. So, stay away from men that is honor. Stay away from men that is honor. So let me just quickly run through this. So I've said you must honor your ministers. And honor. I said honor is rooted in love, okay? When you love a man, you will honor him. Yeah. When you love a man, you will honor him. When you love him. I was saying that, I was talking about it last week. That no matter how stupid your mother is, no matter how, even if your mother is a prostitute, you cannot drag your mother on Facebook. You can't. It takes a special level of foolishness for you to do that. Right? It's true. No matter how stupid your mother is. Okay? Do you know why? You love your mom. She's family. She's family. No matter what she does. In fact, if somebody drags her, you're going to defend her. You know, and that's the same thing that will bring into the pastor son relationship or pastor member relationship, that no matter whatever your pastor does, because of that love, there are things you don't do. Don't you realize, no matter what your mom does, because you love your mom and because of the position she occupies in your life as your mom, if somebody says this woman is a prostitute, you will turn and say, is it your business? Did she sleep with your father? I don't get the point. You are protecting that relationship. It's not the person's business. True. But the amazing thing is that this makes sense because it is family. But then doesn't make sense when we bring it to church. Praise God. You know, some years ago, somebody that was following me, I was not pastoring there, someone that was following me, a lady that was following our ministry then, got pregnant. The details of the pregnancy we told, but it wasn't even something very willful and intentional. But then she got pregnant. And then, of course, kept the baby. And then somebody walked up to me, you know, and was just flaunting her mouth. He said, in the church, did you hear that this person is pregnant? I said, yes. He said, she is your daughter. The daughter. You know, you've expected me to say, no, she's not my daughter. Who is that one? Let me tell you, I'm loyal to the core. I'm loyal to you. I say, is it your business? Is it your pregnancy? I don't want to give up. Why carry it on your head? He said, you don't even feel sorry. I said, why should I? What's your business? Do you know, was I clapping, happy that she got pregnant? No. Have I cautioned her? Ask her. She almost died in my hand. Praise God. I cautioned her badly. When I mean caution, I mean real cautioning. Amen? She was repenting from the sin for 2 months. I'm not that fair. I dealt with that. But then, that's not anybody's business. I didn't get the point. I can't say. In fact, if that day I was not in a good mood. I say she's pregnant. He said, are you better than her? You would have been sleeping with men up and down. I gave her some words. Is it because you did not get pregnant? Doing anyhow. I was very angry. Why will you be defending a sinner like that? Well, this is family. Amen. What I do to her inside is my business. I didn't get the point. Whether I'll place her on 13 days fasting is my business. Whether I will stop her from talking to men for 3 years is my business. It is not your business. So I have to honor that relationship. The fact that at least, okay, she told me, she values me, I have to honor that relationship. You know, loyalty, I'm talking about loyalty now. Loyalty should be a two-way thing. You get the point? You're loyal to me, I'm loyal to you. That's so we bring you to church. So when they say, our pastor did it, some things are not people's business. I didn't get the point. You honor. So it's rooted in love. So because of the love you have for that person, it should birth honor in you. It should birth honor. The scriptural honor that the Bible teaches. A lot of things to say, but then, like I've said, that people, you should honor your parents, you should honor your pastors, you should honor all believers, you should honor your spouse, praise God, you should honor everybody. You know, some people are married, or let me not say married, some people are in relationships, but then the girl or the lady or the guy they are dating cannot advise them, cannot tell them anything. You know why? You've dishonored that girl. You are dishonoring that guy. So she can't advise you. You get the point? You've commonized her. So what does that one know? I didn't get the point. And what we call husband and wife, sometimes, most times, God will keep your safety in your spouse. But because you've treated her like, what's this one? This girl that I know. Because once you marry, you will know the person. In different ways. Even the form in the person you used to form you, we know that this guy is not like this. So. You get the point? The forming that the guy used to form is, I can never be broke in my life. And right where you are, you remember that the issue we had this morning was money for food, ordinary. You remember? I said, my Jesus is not broke. So I can never be broke. In Ariano Chigi. Then you start jotting. Praise God. You know, you must... So you honor your spouse. Praise God. You honor your spouse. So that's where she can be or he can be a blessing to you in different ways. Sometimes the business advice you are reading different books for is found in that girl you are forming a relationship with. But because you don't value her, she talks and you'll be like, what's this one? I didn't get the point. The relationship, sometimes business advice, I'm thinking of how to expand this business, how to take this to the next level. It is found in that guy, it's found in that girl. But because you've commonized the person, you're saying like, who is this one? Is it not? So even when she says it jokingly, don't you think we should do this and do this? You just laugh and say, why? But I don't know. Get me that my book, Think and Grow Rich. The answer is not there. You will not see it. You know, some are thinking rich, others are growing rich. Bless God. Okay, so let me just say a few things about honor while we begin to close. Honor respects protocols. I'll talk about that. Honor, we respect protocol. A lot of things to say about that and ministry. You know, some people love disorder. Some people hate protocols. Some people hate things being in order. Totally. You know, I normally give this example. You and one guy used to be very good friends. But then suddenly he becomes governor. The order around his life now now demands that you have to come and sit down and wait. But you don't want it. What's that one? You want that once you come in. So when you come and they say, sir, who do you want to see? He said, I want to see Chikwadona. Tell Chikwado, I'm waiting. He said, okay, sir, please, you have to wait. You now say, wait. You now call him, his PA will pick the call, and you get angry. Some don't like order in their life. Sit down there, my friend. Don't go anywhere. Sit there. If you go, you will not see him. You need to recognize that. You see, there is protocol in life. Praise God. You know the thing is, as the bigger a person gets, the more protocol, the more order that is around him. You get the point? For example, when we started here in Enugu Church, you could just finish service and I just walk around. Ah, how are you? How are you? How far now? Come, hope we'll see you next week. Come now, let's talk. Okay, the bigger we get, you can no longer do that. You have to now wait. As we progress, then I say, no, before you see pastor, you have to book 2 days ahead. You say, pride. Men of God, once they begin to grow, pride will come in. Your mind is not telling you that. The reason we are saying you should book is that if in a church of 5,000 people, we allow everybody that wants to see him to go and see him, the last person that will come into his corpse where he has died. Is your mind not telling you that? Just say, everybody, if you just want to see him, just go. People will come. Finally, they start dragging at the door. It's me that will enter first. It's me that... Then after everything, he can't pass for 2 weeks. He's dead. You say he died for the gospel. No, he died for his foolishness. He was not wise. Amen? And then you say, so we have to now... So I have to apply. I want to see my own pastor. You don't like growth in your life. That's your problem. It's growth. Or they say, okay, now, the order is, if you want to talk about this, come on Monday. If you want this, come on Tuesday. If you want this, come on Wednesday. Then I say, hey, Chineke. Some don't like order in their life. You know, if your pastor is unmarried, when he gets married, order, things will change. You will not get angry. Say, what's that one? Since that woman entered into his life, we don't have access to our pastor again. She just came and took over everywhere. Eat him. Do you know the funny thing? The funny thing is that the lady is talking this way. If they were the wives, you can't come close. You see all the people laughing? That's how they are. They know if it's me, you can't come close. You know, some people, when their husband is talking in the parlor, they will just walk and pass. That in the walk and pass, she has sent a message. He now says, man, say, Daddy, be a good, can go see Gifeo. You now come in. No, they don't want to share anything. Please help me and fix this, my zip. They just want to distract the man. They now say, okay, fine, I'm coming. Now pass again. Daddy, be a good, let me tell you. You see, some of you, that's how you are. But then, when is now another pressing? Say, does she want to? You know something, you must learn, you know, when honor steps in, you must learn to honor your past, honor the protocol around him, honor the wife too. You can't dishonor a man's wife and claim you're honoring the man. You can't. The same honor you bestow on the man, bestow it on the wife. That shows that you're a wise person. It's like, I don't care about wife, for my own is, this is my spiritual father. I don't care about the woman. You are not wise. In case you don't know, you've lost. You've lost. You know, no matter how much a man hates his wife, you can't dishonor the wife and survive. Hope you know. A man will be beating the wife. Beating the wife. If you join the beating, he will beat you. Say, did I beg you to beat for me? Did I say I cannot beat her? Let me beat her myself. Don't. Men value their wives. Don't touch my wife. Leave her for me like that. And that's how men are. And so, you must honor the protocol. I know some people, let me not go further, but honor protocol. Honor, again, worked with reverence. I've said that. You must reverence the man. You show that you value him. You value him. You revere him. Hallelujah. Praise God. You revere him. I'll say more on this as we progress. One statement I've always made is the fact that honor chooses what information to act on. Remember, I always say that Honor, a sign that you're walking in honor is that you choose what to act on. I've said this in different ways today, that there are many things you can know about a person, but the proof that you honor the person is that you choose the one to act on. You choose the one. Remember, this topic is treasures in earthen vessels, okay? You ignore the vessel, you act on the treasure. So you choose the information to act on. You can hear that this guy is this. He can be five things. You choose the one you want to act on. Just like I told you, you hear your mother is a prostitute, she's this, but then she's your mother. Why are you honoring her? You are not ignoring her sin, but you are acting on the fact that she is my mother. So I have to honor her for that sake, because she is my mother. And so you choose what to act on. I'll say more about that. So quickly, how to honor. I'll just say three. Let's say just two. How to honor. I've talked about giving last week, because I won't say much about that today. How to honor. Number one, you honor in words. You honor in words. Okay? Honor is first of all of the heart, truth, but then it is expressed in different ways. One of them is words. Honor is of the heart. Because I would like to say this, honor is of the heart. That's why I say this is rooted in love. So, listen, if you do not love someone, if your honor is not flowing from your heart, and you're just talking with your mouth, you're not walking in honor. And I don't know about you, but me, I will know. You know, there are people that are around me that are shouting, sir, we believe in you. I know you don't honor me. I see the heart. You say, how do you see the heart? I'm a pastor. The same anointing on Jesus is upon me. Bible says, Jesus knowing their hearts. You've seen that, right? He knows their hearts. And so you must be a man that honors from the heart. But then, that will be seen in action. And so, you don't speak words of dishonor. You don't be a loose talker. You don't talk your pastor down, whether in his presence or his absence. You see, anybody that talks people down in their absence is a very dangerous person. He's a very dangerous person. So, you don't talk people down, whether in their presence or in their absence. So you say the right things. You say words of honor. I celebrate you. You know, don't always think that your pastor is fine. He knows I value him. He doesn't. He wants to. Pastors want to hear that. Pastors are emotional people. How many of you know this? The pastoral job is a very emotional job. And most human beings are emotional. Okay? And so you say the right things. You say, pastor knows I was blessed today. No, sometimes you have to say it. You blessed my life today. That was a powerful message. You know, I thought something like this last year. God's man and you remember? And I shared a story with you. I was ministering in one of our church centers. That was then. And that day, I was to lay hands. I was very sick. I don't want to go into all the details, but I was quite down. Okay? But then, the instruction in that meeting, I had to lay hands on everybody that came for that meeting and pray for them. In case you don't know, one of the things that drains physical strength most in ministry is laying on of hands. If you don't know, don't worry. You will still know. Do you know, if a man preaches for 15 minutes and lays hands on people for 5 minutes, the man will be tired and drained. I don't know why it happens, but if you ever laid hands, you will know it's true. But then I had to lay hands on about 100 persons in that meeting, all of them. And so, but I was very down. And this was around 3 in the morning. So I just managed to carry myself. They didn't know. I just managed to carry myself. You know, my head was aching, was pounding. My body was weak. There was pain all over. My stomach was troubled. My body was troubled. But then I laid hands. Now, the idea of this story is that when I finished and I got home, what even made me become a bit happy after the whole experience was that I got numerous texts and gifts and messages and seed, whatever you call it, from that meeting. So thank you for blessing my life. You see, when you lay hands on me, this, and that happened to me. My life was changed. You know, when you laid hands on me, I had a vision. You know, those words were very encouraging. Amen? So you must be someone that honor with words. Honor with words. Do this privately. Do it before your pastor. Do it openly too. Do it every week. And I'm going to talk about this openness. You know that, I'm coming to that shortly. So you honor people. Honor your pastor with words. Of course, I've also taught you in this place, not just about pastor now, to learn to honor people with their titles. Remember, I've taught you that, right? Whatever people say is their title, call them like that. If I wake up one day and say that I'm no more pastor, I'm now senior prophet. I will not even say that. I'm just saying, if that's what I say, fine, call me by that. You're not going to die. Praise God. If a man says, you say, well, Africans like title. Well, I don't think it's an African thing. Okay? If people say this is their title, see, let me tell you, the fact that it's done in Nigeria, in Hollywood doesn't mean it's correct. You find people in all these American movies, somebody calling the grandmother Cynthia. Cynthia. Don't learn that nonsense. That my son, you call me by my name, you father me. You have to choose either I father you or you father me. Are you mad? Have you seen this in all these American movies? It's a Linda. Which house? We die. You lose that beauty. I'm telling you. Praise God. Don't think too much about that. So you honor people with their title. In Luke chapter 1, verse 3, Luke was writing to a man called Theophilus. I've kept teaching you this. Look at how he addressed Theophilus in Luke 1, verse 3. He said, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first time, to write unto thee in order. Look at what they called him, most excellent Theophilus. He would have just called him Theo, but he was mature enough to call him most excellent Theophilus. You're not going to die if you start addressing people like that. Praise God. Amen. Yeah. In Acts chapter 23. Okay. Acts 26 verse 24. Acts 26 and verse 24. Okay. And as he thought speak for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. So he told Paul, you are a madman. Look at how Paul will address him. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus. It's a sent thing. That's how we talk to people. I don't get the point. Most excellent Theophilus. Most noble Festus. That's how saints talk about each other. That's how they talk to people. And you must learn it. You must learn it. You don't talk to people anyhow. You mustn't be loose with your words. In Acts 23 from verse 1, Acts 23 from verse 1, you see where Paul spoke carelessly to a certain man. He spoke the wrong words. And you will see how saints act when they talk like that. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. He told them to hit Paul. So they struck Paul on his mouth. Hallelujah. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For thou sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten according to the law. He said, how can you tell them? You are judging me after the law, and yet you are disobeying the law. Get the point? So Paul insulted him. So you whited wall. Praise God. You know, I love the Bible. Sometimes when you read things like this, it tells you that the men that you are reading about in the Bible, they were not spirits. I didn't get the point. He said they were not spirits. But look at what happened. And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest. So they corrected Paul. How can you talk to a high priest like that? Then said Paul, I wish not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. You get the point? Go back to verse 5 with other translation. So he said, sorry, I didn't know he was a high priest. Look at how NLT said, I'm sorry, brothers. I didn't realize he was the high priest. Paul replied, for the scriptures say, you must not speak evil. So he accepted the wrong, because that is a wrong way for believers to talk. I didn't get the point. That's why when you talk like that, and tell you, that guy is a pastor, take back your words. Don't say, I don't care. Take back your words. Say, oh, I didn't know, I shouldn't have spoken like that. I get the point. Don't be a loose talker. Read verse 5 with NLT. Proper 5 with NLT. Glory to God. Verse 4 rather. Verse 4 with NLT. Verse 4, he said, verse 3 rather, so that we can get the full story. But Paul said to him, God will slap you, you corrupt hypocrite. What kind of judge are you to break the law yourself by ordering me struck like that? He said, God will judge you. God will slap you, you corrupt hypocrite. So he picked offense. He was angry. So, but then, Paul recognizes that, you see, since this guy is a high priest, so why did Paul talk to him like that? Paul didn't know. Look, message said, God will slap you down. What a fake. What a fake you are. What a fake you are. You sit there and judge me by the law and then break the law by ordering me slapped around. Baba was angry. But then look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. Then with message said, the eighth, you are scandalized. How dare you talk to God's chief priest like that? And verse 5, Paul acted surprised. How was I to know he was chief priest? He doesn't act, right? But he said, you're right. The scripture does say, don't speak abusively to a ruler of the people. He now said, sorry. Praise God. Amen. Well, the message is, learn not to talk loosely. You get the point? When they say that guy is a pastor, don't say, I don't care. I don't care if he's a pastor. I really don't care. You should care. You don't talk like that. Hallelujah. You know, I told you guys, even when it comes to your parents, you can correct your parents too. But there's a way to correct your parents. You don't talk to your father if he's wrong, like he's your younger brother. You don't do that. You're walking in dishonor. What you're saying may be right, but you're walking in dishonor. So you honor in words. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed? Okay, let me say one last thing. You honor in actions. Your actions should show that you honor the person. You know, I've kept saying this. Learn to serve men is a sign of honor. You see how Elisha was referred to in 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 11. He was referred to as the man who poured water on the hands of Elijah. Say, Joshua said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. So Elisha was known as the man. You know what it means to pour water? It means he served him. How did he serve him? He served him domestically. Pouring water on his hand was not a spiritual responsibility. It was a domestic responsibility. Okay? So you must carry an honor to serve your pastor, even if it is domestically. It's a sign that you honor him. Put up another translation of this. Put up like New Living Translation. He said, one of the King Joram's officers replied, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to be Elijah's personal assistant. Personal assistant. So he assisted him. He served him. Count it an honor to serve the anointing, to serve the calling. Count it an honor to serve the calling in domestic stuffs. In domestic stuffs. Okay? Wash the car. Clean the house. If you can, if you have the privilege, serve the anointing. You are not belittling yourself. You are not. Praise God. That's if you have the opportunity. Anyway, but most of you, sometimes, pastors these days, you know, pastors are so scared of dishonor these days. So they would rather not bring you close to themselves. They will do their things themselves. It's not if I bring you close, where you can insult me. But when you have the privilege, serve that anointing. So he poured water on his hands. He served him, howbeit domestically. In Luke chapter 22, verse 7. In Luke chapter 22, verse 7, we find the disciples of Jesus serving him in ways that are not spiritual. He said, then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. Okay? And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. Let me explain that to you in a very simple way. It means we won't have a party. Okay? You, both of you, go and set up the room. That's not the spiritual stuff. Okay? Or won't have a program. Go and set the sound. I didn't get the point. Learn to serve the anointing like that. You would have thought that Peter, such a man as Peter, was going to be setting room for party. You think when they came to set the room for party, he was healing the sick? They were sweeping the place, arranging the table, setting the seat. Learn to serve the anointing if it calls for that. So Peter got there, set the stuff. Of course, he had to go and make provision for the bread that they were going to use, make provision for the wine that they were going to use. You get the point? I showed another example in John chapter 4, where Jesus will send 12 of his disciples to go and buy him food. He was hungry. So he sent 12 of them to go and buy food. It's always very funny to me when I read it. Because of course, if you wanted food, you could have just sent one person or two people. But he sent all of them. Say, come buy me food. I want to eat. Hallelujah. And you must learn to serve the anointing that way. David will sit down one day and just talk. Say, how I wish somebody would bring me water from the well of the Philistines. And these guys heard it. These three guys heard it and went out of their way and went to that well of the Philistines, fought the battle, brought the water. David was so humble that he couldn't drink the water. You get the point? You know, so you should be a man that's really willing to serve like that. What it means is that we are all fighting. There are soldiers come there and I just say, man, I need water. I need water from those people's gallon. Can you get the point? And then three guys stand up without even telling you, just went there, fought, got the water, processor. There's water. He was so humble. You must be such a man that is willing to serve the anointing if it calls for that. And you think, you know, sometimes I told you, honor makes for the flow of the anointing. Sometimes if you had observed Elijah and Elisha's relationship, you would have sworn that he would be the one that would take up from Elijah. It was so clear. Because once that honor was flowing, it was natural who was going to stand in that office next. We could see it. Pastor Iya Deboye used to be an interpreter for the late Pastor Josiah Akindayomi. How many of you know? How many of you know Pastor Iya Deboye is not the one that founded Redeemed? You know, right? He wasn't a founder. It was Pastor Josiah Akindayomi who was not educated. He was an illiterate who could not even speak English. I get the point. He couldn't speak English. The church was a local church. What took Pastor Deboye there was that But the guy was working miracles. So the wife was seeking. Obviously, the wife had made the daughter also. He needed a solution. He needed a miracle. So he went there and started worshiping there. He said he didn't like the thing that they were so uncultured. One, Pastor Deboye then was a lecturer. Well-learned man. A mass lecturer. So to be a lecturer then in Nigeria, he must be a big boy. Amen. But he got there to that, in quote, local church. Praise God. And then began to serve the man. And began to interpret for him from Yoruba to English. So he would speak Yoruba, Pastor Deboye would interpret it to English. That's what he did throughout the man's life. So when he was going to die, the anointing or whatever didn't fall on any other person. It was on him that the assignment fell on. You know, you can if a grace you cannot serve, you might not benefit from it. And that's the truth. You must learn to serve. If the opportunity comes, serve that calling as much as you can. You know, people don't want to serve. And I've kept telling you guys, people say things like because what I'm saying now is sounding like when you serve your way to greatness. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? I'm just telling you great men that served. I'm not saying they served their way to greatness. Amen. Because in our kingdom, service is not a way to the top. Service in itself is greatness. It's a great thing to serve the Lord. Even as ministers, we are called servants of God. It's a great thing to serve. So if all the Lord will have me do is to serve my pastor, is to serve in church all the days of my life, I'm fine and okay to do it. That's the heart. Praise God. Praise God. So you serve the anointing. So there must be honor seen in action. Honor seen in action. For instance, honor is seen in obedience. Is seen in obedience. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, that's the popular 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22. Hallelujah. It says, Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And that's the truth. That's the truth. You see, the fact that, you know, you see, obedience, sometimes being an obedient person, you see, is a proof of honor more than that you can even talk in tongues. It shows that you are wise, more than that you can talk in tongues. Some people are so anointed, in quotes, that you cannot instruct them and they follow it. You cannot give instruction and they obey it. You cannot say something. They do what they want to do, how they want to do it. They're not a man of honor. Hallelujah. You know, there are people that once you fix evangelism, they will never come. but they fix evangelism and go on their own. That's not honor. Yeah, I get the point. Not a man of honor. You think you're spiritually mature, you're not a man of honor. When they fix church, everybody's going to fast on Tuesday. You will not fast. On Wednesday, you fix your own fast and fast. You're not an honorable person. Hallelujah. You're not even spiritual. You are political. That's what you are. You're just political. You just want to show that I can do my own thing. I can do my own thing. You should be able to obey instructions, even when they don't make sense. Even when they don't make sense, you obey instructions. If pastor said everybody must be here by 7:10, be here by 7:10. If they say 7:20, be here. You know, when I was in Lagos last year, and the Sunday service before the Sunday service, Reverend planned it in a different way. He said he was going to have a special teaching by 7:00, and that teaching was supposed to be for just the workers of the church. But he said, Pastor Henry, I would like you to be there. You should be there. And he told them, once it is 7, the door will be shut. Make sure you stay here by 7. Now, I'm not a worker in that church. Okay? If I walk in there by 7:30, they will open the door for me that will enter. Praise God. But I knew myself. After 6, I've left my hotel. Amen. You must learn to be. So why are you obeying? Let me tell you sometimes. I've said this before in this church. Sometimes answers are found in obedience. Miracles are found in obedience. You get it? But that's what Elijah was trying to communicate to Naaman. Go and bathe 7 times in the Jordan. Naaman must have risen. I've bathed in Jordan more than 2,000 times. I'm an Israelite. I bathe almost every day. So what is special about this bathing now? What is special is that it's not the bathing, it's the obedience to the instruction. So an honorable man is a man that obeys instruction. When they say stand, you stand. When they say move, you move. When they say pray, you pray. When they say sing, you sing. When they say come by two, you come by two. You are obedient. So you honor in action. And that's why, and different other ways, honor publicly too. You know, when I see people come on Facebook and they say, this guy is my pastor. That's the right thing to do. Of course, that should come from the heart and all that. But you should learn to do that too. You know, one of the things is people must be able to look at you and know that this is the man this guy follows. You can't be close to me. You can't be my Facebook friend and you claim you don't know my pastor. It's not possible. You know my pastor. I don't hide it. You know, there are people that talk about other ministers than they talk about their own pastor. You think you are being wise. You are learning from everybody. You are not being wise. You're not being wise. You need to understand how the church functions. The church functions like family. Okay? It functions like family. You have different people in your life. You must honor your pastor. There are people that they can post different people's message, different people's videos, different people's whatever, more than they even remember to even talk about their pastor and all that. No, we're not teaching you hero worship. Okay? But then, when you honor a man, we will see it. Amen? That's the truth. Nobody's teaching you hero worship. Not yet. But when you honor a man, we can see it. We can feel it. We can touch it. And the man we know. And trust me, it will affect our relationship with you. And apart from him, you know, when I was coming down this afternoon, this evening, God was sharing some things with me. Some days I will still bring them up in the series we are going to run. He told me, he said, one of the things that you must teach believers is to learn to obey the word of God. Because the Bible said it. You know, sometimes when we try to teach you on honor, for instance, we say, honor your pastor. When you honor him, number one, it will make for the flow of the anointing. Number two, it will give you access. Number three, you see, I was saying, people should learn to obey the word of God without knowing why, just because the Bible said it. Do you understand it? Without reason. So that when you hear, thou shalt not steal. Okay, if I don't steal, what will happen? I will not start convincing you. If you don't steal, you will do this. Learn that even without the reason, if the Bible said it, it's enough reason. I didn't get the point. If the Bible said it, it's enough reason. I said, date a believer. Why should I date a believer? Because if you date him when there is a problem in the home, both of you can stand together. All those things are true. Okay? But you must learn to obey the Bible even without the reason. Just because the Bible said so, I'm going to take it. Hallelujah. So beyond everything I've said that honor will do for you and all that, you must learn to be a man of honor, just because the Bible says we must esteem our ministers highly for their work's sake. So I'll close with two scriptures. Hebrews 13 verse 7. Hebrews 13 verse 7. Say, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Say, this one said, remember them. And then verse 17. We started with this the first day, and I'm closing with it today. Verse 17. Hebrews 13 verse 17. Glory to God. Obey them that have the rule over you, and do what? And submit yourselves. Obey them. And so that's honor right there. Obey them and submit yourselves. Let's see another translation. King James said, obey and submit. NLT said, obey our spiritual leaders and do what they say. Okay? Amplified or any other one? Amplified said, obey our spiritual leaders and submit to them, continually recognizing their authority over you, for that constantly will keep watch over you. So recognize their authority over you. Recognize the authority over you. Okay? Recognize the authority over you. Any other one? Message said, be responsive to your pastoral leaders, listening to their counsel. Hallelujah. Be responsive to your pastoral leaders, listening to their counsel. He said they are alert to the condition of your lives and work under the strict supervision of God. He said contribute to the joy of their leadership. Hallelujah. You must learn to do these things. So obey. Respond. That pastoral leadership over you, obey. Be responsive to it. It shows that you are a man of honor. Praise God. You know, your pastor's birthday is coming. And listen, I'm saying that for a reason. And whenever your pastor's birthday is coming, it's a beautiful time to honor your pastor. But I'm saying that honor should be able to go beyond that period. Hallelujah. It should. It's a way of life. Your obedience to scriptural instructions should not be seasonal. Get the point? It's a way of life. It's a way of life. It's a way of life. Although it should skyrocket around the birthday period, it's a good time to honor and to celebrate men that God has placed over your life. You know, their birthdays and their special days. It's a beautiful way to do that. But then, beyond that, it must be a continuous thing. It must be a continuous thing. So friends, honor. The third thing I would have mentioned, but I discussed that last week, is to honor in substance, in gifts. But I've discussed that last week. Okay, you give to your pastor, to your father, to your minister as a way of honoring him. In fact, let me say this to you. In the Old Testament, it was actually mentioned as a crime to go and see your priest empty-handed. I don't know if you know this. Do you know? You find that in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 6, when Saul's servant was telling him, let them go and meet Samuel for the missing animal and all that. The guy said, fine, we can go. But then, what shall we bring to the man? We don't have anything. The guy said, okay, I have something small. He said, let's go. In other words, if we don't have anything, we won't even go. So you must learn to honor in words, honor in actions, and honor with your substance. Okay? Be a man of honor. And live like the others of your life. You are obeying scriptural instructions, and beyond that, you are setting yourself up and setting your heart right for the many things that God will give you through the gift of men. Hallelujah. To the many answers that God will give you through the gift of men. Through the gift of men. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed today? Okay. Do you have a question? I feel like taking questions today. Any question? If you do, you just raise your hand, we'll get you the microphone and I ask. Okay. If nobody's raising their hand, let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Say, I'm a man of honor. I walk in honor. Once again, I am a man of honor. I walk in honor. There is no room for dishonor in me. Hallelujah. I walk in honor. I walk in honor. I walk in honor. Once again, I walk in honor. I am a man of honor. Hallelujah. Pray in the Holy Ghost for a moment. Pray for yourself. Say, Father, my heart is always right. my heart is always right. My heart is always right. I will not yield.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.